ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. Today, we're speaking to Victoria Degtar, Maya Drazen, and Radhika Prakash. Victoria is the Global Chief Revenue Officer at Time. Maya, it's SVP of Progress Marketing, and Radhika, the SVP of Brand and Strategy. Together, these three impressive women form part of Time's sales and marketing leadership team. For almost a century, Time has been one of the most important cultural voices in the United States. This team is working together to make sure it continues to play a pivotal role in the cultural conversation of the next 100. Thank you all so much for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Today's conversation is a bit different because I'm speaking with all of you as a group. And I'm doing this because together you form the team that's planning and executing the evolution of the Time brand. So I want our conversation to not only focus on the work you're doing, but also on how you're doing that work. And you each head different parts of the organization. In order to be successful, you need to team together. Cross-functional matrix work is challenging. So learning how you're executing on your vision is also something I want to make sure we touch on. In an interview with Digiday, Keith Grossman, Time's president, was quoted as saying that Time had, quote, gone through 10 years of neglect through mismanagement, through transition owners, and that now you have the resources, you'll be evolving the Time brand to capture the attention of the next generation of consumers. That's a tall order. The media landscape is innovating and changing constantly. Can you each give me your elevator ride response from your own position in the organization where you felt you were starting? So take it away, Victoria.
Thank you. I think what Keith had mentioned is actually quite accurate. We are coming in with it from the position of strength because we have an 100-year-old brand that actually has an incredible iconic name and brand association. But through all the different ownerships, the evolution of the brand has been a bit neglected. So from our perspective, from my perspective, coming in and really looking at the brand and changing the perception in the marketplace from being Time Magazine to Time, as well as educating internally and externally what it means to focus on the solution and the idea versus on the platform. And that's something that I think is a huge change from the way we operate and do business. Because as we all know, that consumers don't really have relationships with platforms anymore. They have relationships with the way they consume content.
Right. Maya, would you add anything to that?
Sure. I think that as Vic said, it's so much about the change of the way a consumer relates to their media these days. And so I think the challenge is really to put the customer first. It's kind of classic editorial to be the one who's curating or speaking to a one-way conversation to the consumer. And Time has, you know, there has so much access or is so accessible to so many different kinds of people. And I think to understand who those people are better and to help shape what we provide to them moving forward, that not only includes the trusted information that we've done for nearly 100 years, but also adding in utility, value, and community, all being kind of key elements that we would like to see implemented to just form a tighter knit community or group with our readers.
Right. Now, Radhika, your brand and strategy, so you're pulling all of this together. So again, sort of thinking in the hallway, walk, download, where are you? So you have the brand, that you have the shift in focus to the consumer and how the consumer is consuming. Where did you think was the most important place to start?
You know, I think Victoria put it well. we need to go from Time Magazine to being known simply as Time. And our brand is just so relevant right now more than ever. And so for me, it's really, how do we establish the story of Time for what we stand for now and how we go into our next century versus just leaning on our legacy and thinking about, okay, Time's been around for 100 years. It's like, okay, but what does Time stand for in the next 100 years? What's our role? Especially because right now people are navigating so much complexity and uncertainty. We have such a great opportunity to play in this space and really show them the path forward and help them get there. So I think for me, it's really, how do we do that? Like, what is the story we are going to tell for our brand that drives that value and utility and community that Maya was speaking about?
Right. So money makes the world go round. And let's focus a little bit on revenue. Victoria, what's the role of display advertising in the revenue model?
I think to what I was saying earlier, there's absolutely a huge role of display, but I think what we really have been focusing on creating what is that thing that we're solving for the brand and what challenges do we need to help them with? And this is what's really been driving us forward because if you look at originally when we kind of all joined Time, 80% of our traffic was coming out of desktop, but all of the in revenue was coming out of print. So we kind of have to understand why that was happening and how do we actually move forward with that model. And for the first time ever in second quarter, where we actually started the pandemic, our digital revenue surpassed our print revenue. And it was mainly because we also started to diversify our revenue streams and creating new products. And one of the new products we created was Time 100 Talks. And it was very relevant, it was very timely, and it was actually solving a need in the marketplace where brands were shifting from just being purely advertisers to really be socially responsible. And Time 100 Talks actually created that platform where we were able to create some of these really interesting topics and conversations where brands could be engaging in a much deeper level.
So was that branded content?
No, it's editorial,
it's editorial, but it worked with the brand.
It worked with the brands, right, exactly.
So sponsored editorial?
That's right.
That's fantastic. I was curious, you actually led perfectly into the next question, which was, what are some of the other revenue streams you're focusing on for the next, let's say, 5 years? And I know that COVID certainly probably put a spanner in the works. I would guess probably events were a chunk of what you were looking at. And it sounds like membership, not just subscription, but some sort of two-way membership conversation is also something you were thinking of. Is that so?
I'll let Maya get into the conversation about membership. I think from our perspective, 5 years is, to me, feels like about 1,000 years away.
Yeah, right. Okay, well then, like, let's say, you know, the next year.
I've been actually saying to my team, and you probably even have heard me say it as it's been quoted, right now the timetables have shifted so much where, you know, a day is a month is a year, and a year is potentially a decade right now. I'm even changing it from there. And so everything that we originally were thinking about building and creating has been accelerated. And Time 100 Talks was created basically because, you know, we were doing great work around event space. And because we couldn't do events, this was our solution, is to kind of, how do we bring the conversation forward in a virtual way? But then also, how do we create other revenue streams through bringing some of our amazing content that Maya's been spearheading around Time for Kids or Time Health or Time for Learning, and truly bring it to life? Because again, creating that value and utility where we creating utility for our consumers, but also creating value for our brands where they can actually partner with some of these amazing franchises that we're building.
Right, exactly. So in terms of how COVID changed your thinking, Maya, do you want to dive into a little bit of how
sure.
you retooled things?
COVID was an incredible opportunity for Time, and we rather than being paralyzed, as I think many people were, we really accelerated and said, looked around and said, how can we help? We've been looking at how do we create products that make people's lives better, that simply. And so if we are looking to not only make their lives better at the individual level, but ideally then help society at the same time, so stakeholder value. And so when all of this went down, we looked and said, where are people struggling and what do we have that can help? And so the first thing was obviously time for kids. The school shut down, and within a week and a half, we were able to provide a free digital library to parents all over and teachers all over the world. And that was because it was on a longer term roadmap to go digital. And so we had started going in that direction. And so we were able to just move it more quickly. And in doing so, we went from being a classroom only product in the United States to having 350,000 people register from all over the world and use that on an ongoing basis until just last week, actually. And then it was really incredible too, because it was a great opportunity to hear from consumers, and they would tell us, okay, this is amazing. Thank you so much. Can you make it in Spanish? And so we found great partners through Vic's team, and we did. And then in Chinese, and, you know, and then we need something in video. And so we introduced a program called Draw with Drew, which was our creative director and our editor-in-chief's daughter, who had this organic drawing exchange going already. And we did an 8-week drawing program with Adobe. And so I think what COVID allowed us to do was to really see so clearly what consumer need was and try and address that, with the second thing being time for health and the third thing being time for learning. So how do you upskill in this time when people are losing jobs? How do we help people with their wellness needs? And so all three of those products were kind of launched out of such a clear and obvious need.
Right. Well, what I'm impressed by is the speed with which you're able to jump on this. Radhika, how does your role fit in with what Maya's doing and what Vic's talking about? What is your execution delivery piece of that role? Or are you looking ahead, looking at trends? How are you pulling things together?
Yeah. So partner closely with both Maya and Vic on everything we do. I think the three of us are probably like the team of superstars that have, like, we read each other's minds of like, oh, you need that, I already did it, or what should I help you with? And so I think my role, I run a bunch of different teams, including the branded content team. So we partner with Vic on how do we do, you know, we do sponsorships of editorial content, but then how do we extend some of those partnerships with clients to really create content on their behalf? And so, you know, we've been doing a lot of work. We signed our first Asia auto client, Subaru. We have a multi-million dollar deal with them. And so how do we work together to think about what's the opportunity that we can drive right now that's bespoke to different clients? Safety, obviously, being top of mind. Our whole campaign with Subaru is around safety. And then I work with Maya on how do we position some of these things like time for learning and time for health. And I run also our creative team, who then helps execute all of the creative across all of these programs. So how do we think outside the box? How do we push time to not just do what we've always done, or just do things with the magazine cover or the same color palette, but how do we make each of these initiatives feel distinct yet still part of our brand, so that people pay attention to them every time we come out with something? Because as you said, every day Maya's come up with a new idea, Vic's got a new partner, and my team really needs to say, how do we do this in a way that's bespoke to that actual activity and make it stand out so that people recognize it and start engaging with it?
Well, it really, I mean, leadership at speed is challenging. Are there any barriers? Do you have an entire internal team that does it? Do you work with vendors? I mean, I am sitting here going, okay, when I, you know, sat at a digital information publisher, you know, that was looking at reinvention and how we got things done, the distance between idea and execution was this knot, if you will. Now, it sounds like you cut through pretty well. So how are there no barriers? Are you straight line? You know, you can execute and very empowered, given that you know the big vision. How does that work?
Yeah. We are definitely very empowered as a team. I think, you know, we were all brought on at the same time last year to really help evolve the way time operates. And because we are in a startup mode and we're super nimble and agile, so our teams are very small and mighty, we like to say. And so we're able to say, like, this needs to be done, let's focus here. And between the three of us, through our partnership, we can decide, like, what are the right priorities for each day and each week so that we can get what's most important done. And then move on to the next thing. And so I think it's a constant flow of communication and supporting each other to be able to collaborate to drive towards those same goals that we need to do to, you know, make the company successful. And I think that's a driving force for us. We all have that same vision of these are our goals, let's all work towards them together.
And are you very integrated with the tech, the engineering? Is that also, are they feathered in with you? How does that, I mean, because execution is so important for the consumer experience, that their user experience, the user interface is engaging, that they have a good experience, because it's not only what they're seeing, it's how they're actually experiencing it. So how are they in the conversations as well? Or is it just, you know, you're able to direct them and it, and there's enough of a robust team that they can swing shift into what's needed?
Well, they are absolute. I mean, the product team is an absolute important part of any new endeavor that we do, for sure. And then we've also had great partners on some of these things who've had platforms that allow us to turn things on quickly. So it's a combination of internal and external. And you make such a good point about the experience being so critical to the consumer experience these days, the technology experience.
That's great. So I also saw some really impressive audience statistics from the start of the year. 44% of the audience under 35, slightly more than half female and roughly a third non-white, which is especially impressive with Victoria, you talking about when you started having your revenue from print and 80% desktop, because that seems like you guys have really pulled through some big change going on there. Would you say that those statistics are still pretty accurate, or have they continued to move?
Radhika and I have this conversation a lot. I think what we're doing is, again, I think we, by bringing new opportunities, we are engaging with the new younger demographics. I think we're engaging with the demographics across many more social channels as well. And again, for us, it's more how do we diversify the revenue streams, right? So I don't think we'll ever go back to being print first. It's not going to be our largest platform. I think digital, mobile, as we're growing, is definitely going to continue to grow and go in the right direction.
Right.
I was so impressed with the kind of the stats that you note and how much of the audience was on mobile already, because I think there's a perception of who the Time Reader is, and some of that perception is probably true in print. But to Victoria's point, the scale is so much more tremendous on both digital and social, that and the mobile readership is high. And I think that really attests to the cross-generational appeal of Time that you find that's hard to find in a lot of brands.
Yeah, well, I clearly think you probably have, if you're running your audience assessment of print versus sort of everywhere else, you probably see a bit of difference between your print reader and your digital mobile reader. But I'm just so impressed with how you pulled it. It's really impressive.
I think we were just also a little bit surprised ourselves, because originally when we looked at our audience and we realized that the print audience is significantly older.
Right.
And then we looked at our digital audience, and you didn't expect to have such a young generation and such a young demographics. And again, for us to continue to grow it and building on that has been great for us.
When you're looking, Radhika, when you're looking at the sort of sweet spot goal audience, how would you describe that?
It's interesting. I don't think we'd have like one audience. given the amount of activity and initiatives we have going on, right? You have time for kids. So obviously that's, you've got K through six, you've got parents, you've got teachers. There's Time Edge, which is middle school. We've got our Time for Learning with Columbia Business School, which is, you know, MBA classes. So like that in of itself kind of spans zero to beyond, to like right. lifelong learning, basically.
Right.
Whereas Time for Health has like a much different focus. We're looking more at millennial females and health and wellness content that can really support them. Time Social, like you look at our Instagram following, you know, we've got 9 million plus, and it's that breakdown is just such a diverse audience. So I think for us, it's not the sweet spot of one age. What it is figuring out how do we use each platform in the right way to talk to the audience that's engaging with us there, right? We don't need everyone that's going to the .com to go to our social channels or vice versa, but we need to make sure we're curating our content and making it most relevant and accessible to them where they are.
Right.
And that's where I really try to understand our audiences and their behaviors on each platform.
Yes.
And in each pillar versus saying like, okay, we're going to go after the 40 to 50 year old female who's got two kids and like, you know, owns a dog and a house, right? Like that,
right.
That no longer is relevant.
Well, it's so smart because every platform has a different purpose and how content plays out on every platform is different. What I'm curious about though is how much education do you have to then do with the brands you're teaming with who come to you with an RFP and say, I want to hit demographic X, you know, there is education going on there. And even this wonderful sponsored editorial, which sounds so good, that sometimes, you know, they like it, but they're like, but can we quote our guy? And can we then have, you know, some more stats about our company? And it's like, well, no, you start changing it into a camel from a horse, you know, it turns into so something true. Else.
I think there's two things. One is we know where our audiences sit on each platform. So when we get a proposal or an RFP from a client, they give us what they're trying to do. They give us their objectives and who they're trying to reach. We then come back with a response that feels authentic to what they want to do, but also authentic to where Time can drive the value and equity for them. And so we curate a proposal. We don't just say everyone gets print and everyone gets digital. We say like, okay, should this be a social first idea because of the audience you're trying to reach? And so we really try and lead with what's the idea and then how do we reach the consumer they're trying to go after. But I think also to your point on editorial sponsorships, right? There's a fine line. There's editorial and you can sponsor it. That means like a client doesn't have a say in the content.
Right.
But then we have branded content, which my team does with a lot of clients as well, because when a client does want to get very involved and does want their CEO quoted, we need to create something very bespoke for them. And, you know, we don't ever want to compromise our journalistic integrity for a piece of content.
Well, because then it gets into your brand, you know, it has to be convincing to the reader that this is still a Time piece, even if it's branded.
Exactly. My strategists are, you know, they live and breathe the brand, so they can do that. They can see the opportunity for a client and build a bespoke program for them that highlights what they want to do, but does it in a Time voice and the look and feel and the way we execute it is very like authentic to our brand. So it's a nice marriage of what a client wants to achieve and what Time can do that's differentiated from what any other.
Are you dealing with different KPIs? I know a lot of digital publishers or content providers struggle with the click through KPI versus exposure, brand awareness. Like, what kind of KPIs are you selling into your brands?
I mean, I think KPIs vary, right, based on what the client is trying to achieve. Like, I come from the brand side too, so I think like that's probably like one of my superpowers is like hearing what a brand's objectives are and then actually saying like, well, what KPIs actually get there? Is it click through what you want to achieve or is it engagement?
Right.
And so we lead with an idea that meets their objectives and then we figure out what's the right measurement for that. If it's videos, you know, a lot of times it's going to be video views, but if it's social, are we looking at the engagement on a post? Are we looking at the conversation it creates? And depending on the topic, you might think like, oh, we should look at the conversation we're creating versus just seeing how many people liked a post or shared it, right? So I think we do try and tailor
right.
how we look at each client based on what their needs and objectives are.
Right. Well, one of the challenges of an attention economy is grabbing mind share and meeting the audience on the channels where they like to spend their time. So, and you can't be everywhere. So what are the channels that your teams are focusing on?
I feel like Maya, that's a great one for you. That's Maya's bread and butter.
I think that, I mean, social obviously is one we've spent a lot of time on over the last few months. One, we have the traction there, and two, it's a new and engaging audience. And so it's also a place that we've really, Radhika and I in particular, have really partnered well on in kind of looking at how do we in our channels, as Radhika said, like, what do we do in each of these channels that really uses it to its best ability? But what are people looking for from us, and how do we engage them with the most frictionless? And from my perspective, that may be as much as how do I seamlessly do subscriptions or newsletter signups from social without having to take them to another platform. Obviously, it's so funny because I know I should be just picking one, and I led with social, but I think the reality is, again, time is so unique in that it is for everybody. And as noted, it's not a single audience, and then you're capturing them in different ways in different places. You're actually capturing different audiences in different places, and all of those audiences are important in their own right. And so I think we're just tackling social, digital, and print in unique ways. On the print side, we're really trying to help them understand that they're part of they may love print, but they're part of a broader ecosystem that may have different ways to engage with us, like the Time 100 talks or these wellness magazines. Like, you get your print magazine on a regular basis, but you might want this digital wellness information in a different form factor. I'm probably not the best one to answer that, or I'm not answering that question directly, but I think all three of those channels are actually really important and have different audiences.
Well, what I was trying to actually get at is new things are always coming up. And even if we want to take the social channel, yeah, within social, there are different platforms you can choose, yeah, to be on or not be on. And how do you, for instance, evaluate a nascent platform? How do you look at TikTok? Just pulling that as an example, where, you know, 2 years ago, wasn't big in the United States, was very large globally, but we were starting to see the Washington Post had a TikTok channel, which might seem off brand, but they were exploring and playing with it. Now, so the question I've often thought about is, how do you evaluate nascent platforms so that you're there building an audience at the right time? And then what is the threshold of activity that triggers more participation in the platform?
I think for something like TikTok, we would have to see, you would have to see that sparkle of engagement there as time. You know, I came from Wired. That evaluation was very different. I think at time we would want to see the audience going there, and TikTok, the TikTok audience that goes there is probably the Time for Kids audience. And we have had many a discussion about how we play in that space, or whether we play in that space. And I think you raise a really good point, which is you want to get in early enough that you're one experimenting and exploring and have a native understanding, I think, of the platform, which will really help you as it grows. As we've discussed earlier, with so much going on, you also want to make sure that it is a place that that will grow in the future.
exactly.
An audience need, and that is a very fine balance to walk.
Right. Changing gears a little bit. On my podcast, I've interviewed a number of inventors or companies that are innovating and that are new and small. And you even talked about how all of you joined together and at the same time, and your small, mighty team, entrepreneurial in spirit, get things done attitude. How has the culture of this nearly 100-year-old brand had to adjust in order to meet you, all of you, and your mission of reinvention. Would you say, you know, things have been retained and things have been jettisoned, and what would, you know, how's that played?
I think we all joined because we saw a tremendous opportunity with the brand. And I think the combination of us all working together, whereas Radhika and Maya both said, we work really, really well together. We collaborate on a daily basis, and we create opportunities and platforms and something that we really haven't done before, because it gives us, so this platform, which is increasingly growing, is giving us the ability to innovate, educate, and truly change the marketplace. And our brand's partners also see the value in it. And for us, it's actually extremely exciting. And I think the ability for us to build and see the future and how we can actually bring it to life was something really, really interesting. As we were joking earlier, I don't know how often you actually have three executives on the same podcast talking about the things that we do and how much we love each other. So this is something very unique for us. And I think it's the combination of Mark and Lynn's commitment of what they want to do with the brand, and they've been extremely supportive, and our ability to kind of think creatively and consistently. And this is what happens with pandemic and COVID, right, where everything has been accelerated. So we've been consistently changing and innovating and supporting each other on building it forward.
It's interesting. I wonder, has COVID and its everything unmoored and everything is up for reconsideration, has that actually eased constraints culturally? Has that facilitated new ways of doing things because everything is being differently executed? And has that actually facilitated your mission and goal?
I mean, I think it definitely accelerated everything, to say the least.
I will also add, in addition to what Victoria said, I think that time is one of the most open places I've ever experienced. It was part of what appealed to me. So we have the advantage of having this collaboration, which allows us to move very quickly. But while a 97-year-old brand, they take the startup piece of that very seriously. And I found the entire team really welcoming, really open to new ideas, and really culturally willing to move. But I do think that COVID, the word that comes to mind, I shouldn't use it, but it gave us cover, gives some cover in moving quickly, because to your point, it threw everything up in the air, which just gives you a better chance to kind of lean into that and accelerate that growth with potentially less resistance. But I think the resistance at time it's a pretty open place.
Well, I have to say, speaking with the three of you, you're absolutely correct. It is not typical for me to have three executives on one interview. And I was a little concerned how that would play out. And I have to say, you are proof that you integrate well, you matrix well, and you are sort of singing from the same songbook as the metaphor goes, right? Thank you so much. We've actually run through our time. The conversation went racing along, but I think there's some really great, interesting ways in which you're approaching things that other people can really learn from. So I really appreciate your time. It's been great.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking my production team at Up Next, my friend Rob Naughton, the voice artist who recorded our open, and of course, all of you, the members of our audience. Thank you. I'll be talking to you again next time, right here on Up Next.